Good morning, and welcome once again to our program. My name is Kyle Webb. I'm one of the members of the Mars Hill Church of Christ, meets in Christiana, and we're thankful to have you today. Our lesson for today is one that comes from the Old Testament, but something that is also taught in the New Testament as well. Submission to government leaders. We're going to look at a great example of submission to authority and how David is submissive to Saul, who was king at the time. Even though David had been anointed king, even though he was to be the next king, we see that he was still submissive to the Lord's anointed, as he referred to him often. Before we get into our lesson for today, let's begin with a word of prayer. Our holy and righteous Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you've given to us, and we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege that we have to be able to serve you. We thank you for the privilege that we have to be able to study together, to understand your word more fully, and to better apply it to help us be better Christians and be better servants. We pray that you would forgive us for our sins, as we know that we do often fall short. We are human, and we pray, Father, that you would forgive us and help us to be stronger with each passing day. And we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your Son. It is through him that we pray. Amen. We begin today in our lesson with 1 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Samuel chapter 24, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. Now it happened, when Saul had returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, "Take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." And Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel, and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road, where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, "This is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you.'" And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." So David restrained his servants with these words, and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. And we see David, we see how it bothered him, it troubled him that he had even cut off a portion of the robe of Saul. It troubled him because Saul was his master. Saul was the Lord's anointed. He was king. Let's look at what David does with this piece of robe. Verse 8. David also arose afterward, went out of the cave, and called out to Saul, saying, "My lord the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of men who say, 'Indeed, David seeks your harm'? Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave. and someone urged me to kill you, but my eye spared you. And I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see, yes, see the corner of your robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you. No, and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you, yet you hunt my life to take it. Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. David is telling Saul here, I could have killed you. I had the opportunity. Look, I have a piece of your robe in my hand. But I did not kill you. I do not seek your harm. Maybe it was that Saul was well influenced by the advice that had been given to him. And wrongly so, because David did not seek Saul's position as king. He did not seek his life. Had David killed Saul, he probably would have been king, I guess, because he was the next king. It had been promised to him. God would have worked it out some way or another. But he did not kill him. He did not seek the life of Saul. It appears that when Saul heard these words, when he understood that David did not seek his life, at least in this moment, his demeanor changed. His manner, the way that he was dealing with David, changed. Let's pick up reading with verse 16. So it was when David had finished speaking these words to Saul, that Saul said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. Then he said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. And you have shown this day how you have dealt well with me. For when the Lord delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him get away safely? Therefore may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day. And now I know indeed that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Therefore swear now to me by the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants after me, and that you will not destroy my name from my father's house." So David swore to Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. Now it appears that in the process of time that Saul had not ended his going after David, we read in the next chapter of David and Nabal and Abigail, and that was the lesson that we had for last week on peacemaking. But as we skip to chapter 26, we see that David again spares the life of Saul, who is again seeking his harm. Whatever transpired in chapter 24, it was not over. Saul still desired the life of David. Let's pick up reading in 1 Samuel chapter 26 and verse 1. Now the Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Is David not hiding in the hill of Hakilah, opposite Jeshimon?" Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul encamped in the hill of Hakilah, which is opposite Jeshimon, by the road. But David stayed in the wilderness. And he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul had indeed come. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had encamped. And David saw the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the commander of his army. Now Saul lay within the camp, and the people encamped all around him. Then David answered and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, saying, "Who will go down with me to Saul in the camp?" And Abishai said, "I will go down with you." So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and there Saul lay sleeping within the camp, with his spear stuck in the ground by his head. And Abner and the people lay all around him. Then Abishai said to David, "God has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. Now therefore, please, let me strike him at once with the spear right to the earth. I will not have to strike him a second time." But David said to Abishai, verse 9, "Do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" David said furthermore, "As the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall go out to battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. But please, take now the spear and the jug of water that are by his head, and let us go." So David took the spear and the jug of water by Saul's head, and they got away. And no man saw or knew it or awoke, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord had fallen on them. We see God's care for David in this situation as well. He had caused this deep sleep come upon them, and they were able to take this spear and this jug of water from Saul's presence. And Saul did not realize it. He was asleep. As Saul and Abner begin to leave, David calls out to them from the other side, from the top of a hill, as we read in verse 13. And in verse 15, it says this, "So David said to Abner, 'Are you not a man? And who is like you in Israel? Why then have you not guarded your lord the king? For one of the people came in to destroy your lord the king. This thing that you have done is not good. As the Lord lives, you deserve to die, because you have not guarded your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is, and the jug of water that was by his head." When Saul heard David's voice, he called out to him. He spoke to him. And in verse 21, he says this, "I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will harm you no more, because my life was precious in your eyes this day. Indeed, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly." David returned the things that had been taken to Saul. And Saul said in verse 25, "May you be blessed, my son David. You shall both do great things and also still prevail." So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. Saul finally realizes, at least it seems that he does, that the way that he has done David is not right. The way that he has treated him is not the way that he should treat him. David has been the greater man in all of this, that he has not taken his life, not on just one occasion, but on two occasions, where David had the opportunity, but he did not seek the life of Saul. Even though Saul sought to kill him, he did not seek Saul's harm. Whenever we look at these passages, we realize that David had a great respect for the kingship. He had a great respect for the authority that had been set up by God. He referred to Saul on many occasions as the Lord's anointed, and rightly so. Saul had been anointed king. And who was David to seek his life? God had chosen him. And that shows us so much about how David felt about Saul. Maybe not necessarily about the man that he was, but David felt very strongly about the position that he held. Now I want to bring what we have been looking at with David and Saul into our day and time, into the law that we are under in the New Testament. You see, we are taught in Scripture that we are also to be submissive to authority. We are to respect the powers that be, whoever they may be. It's not up to us to judge whether or not they should be there or not, but we are to be submissive to our government leaders. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's begin reading at verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bond servants of God, honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Whenever we look at our leaders, do we show the kind of respect that David showed to Saul? Do we respect them not for the people that they are necessarily, but for the position that they hold? The same thing is spoken of in Romans chapter 13. Let's turn there, if you will. Romans 13. And let's begin reading at verse 1. Paul says here, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. We realize that Peter and Paul both spoke from inspiration. These are the words of God. We are not to hate our rulers. We are not to lash out against them. We are not to try to kill them. We are not to revolt against them. Even though we may see our taxes and may think, well, you know, this is a lot more than I really deserve to pay. Again, go back to this passage. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs. Romans 13 and verse 7. These things are not ours in the first place. They belong to God. He has allowed us to have them. And so they belong to our government. Whenever we look at our rulers, whoever they may be, we are to see them as David saw Saul, as the Lord's anointed. Again, we go back to verse 6 of Romans 13. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Verse 4, for he is God's minister to you for good. Our rulers, our leaders, are meant to make laws that help to ease the burden on us of defending law. Whenever we see evil done, punishment is rendered to those who do evil because they have broken the law. These men have authority to rule over those laws. We are to see them as God's ministers, as God's ordained, as God's anointed, if you will. But overall, we are to be submissive to those who have rule over us. David taught us well in how he dealt with Saul, how he did not take his life, how he had great respect, even though Saul sought his life. He did not return the favor. He had great respect for the king. And so we learn the very same from the New Testament, that we are to have respect for our leaders, for our rulers, our governors, whoever may be in authority over us. We are to be submissive to that authority. We should also see them as the Lord's anointed. I hope that this lesson has been helpful to you. I hope that you see how important our leaders today are. I believe we live in a time that is very different from anything that we have dealt with in the past. We see so many today that are revolting, many that are doing all kinds of protests and things of that nature because they do not agree with our leadership, our president, or whoever else may be in power. But we as Christians are to be different. We are to be a peculiar people. We are to have respect for our leaders. And I hope that we're setting a good example for the world around us. so that maybe in the very near future, maybe we can see peace with those around us. I thank you for joining us today. I hope you'll be back with us next week, Lord willing, Tuesday at 10 a.m. And I thank you so much for supporting our program. Until we meet again, may God bless you.